The internet folk have joined us for the beginning of our homecoming weekend. I have to put this on so they can hear me. Since we began having our homecoming weekend several years ago, every year that we have done it, our good friend Don Tindall has been an integral part of it. We have met in his building in the past. Barney has stood in that pulpit and preached. And we've always asked Don either to do our scripture reading and prayer, or last year he preached our message for us on Saturday. And I told the folks here at GCA a couple of weeks ago that we need to keep our good friend Don Tindall in prayer, because he has been having ongoing health issues as a result of the car accident and multiple surgeries that followed it several years ago. And when I invited him and asked him if he was going to be able to be here with us, he said, "I can't promise you. I'm going to have to wait and see how it goes." Well, as you can see, he's not here. So to all of you out there on the internet who for years have heard Don's voice here on homecoming weekend, pray for him, and everybody here in the room, pray for him. Since we don't have our special musicians with us this morning, and since Don wasn't able here to do our scripture reading and prayer, I'm going to open our service with the second chapter of Hebrews. So turn there. And then if we're fortunate, and we really all beg him as a group, and we ask kindly and sweetly, perhaps we can get Elder Johnson over to the piano. And then after we sing a song with Elder Johnson, then we will welcome our visitors. Oh, we got lots of fun things to do this morning. I keep saying this morning, don't I? We have fun things to do this afternoon, topped off by the fact that one of my favorite preachers is here. Amen. And then we get to all go eat. Amen. And he amen that. So we're looking forward to today, and we're looking forward to tomorrow. As I mentioned, we had several families who planned to be here today that weren't able to be, and the tornado troubles in the area. The couple from Dallas called me today and said, "We're coming, we're just not going to be there on time." They actually left out from Dallas yesterday and had to turn around and go back to Dallas, and had a good enough reason to just say, "Oh, it's going to be too difficult." No, they got in the car today, and they will be with us tomorrow morning. They'll be in town late tonight. So the tornadoes threw a few things into flux for us here, but we will just chalk that up to sovereign providence. Yeah. Chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews reads, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the words spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking, but one has testified somewhere, saying, 'What is man, that you remember him? Or what is the Son of Man that you should be concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands, and you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not see yet all things subjected to him, but we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for us all. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Since then, the children share in flesh and blood. He himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he has to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, here we are, your people, gathered in this room on a Saturday afternoon so that we could sing praise to you, so that we could worship your name, so that we could look into your word, so that we can hear your word preached, so that we could be edified, so that Christ could be lifted up, so that you would get all the glory. People have driven long distances. People have come in from around the country, flown on airplanes, and come to this little church in Smyrna so that they could join this body on this day while we declare that you are good, that you are right, that you are sovereign. We've come here today dependent on your grace. We've come here today trusting that you will inhabit the praises of your people. We've come here today because you're worthy. We've come here today as the people of God so that we could hug each other's necks, tell each other stories, laugh together, sing together, worship together. So we pray, God, that you will bless us in this weekend, and let everything we do here in this building and through this weekend, let it all glorify you and let it be pleasing in your sight. Because we don't do these things for ourselves. We do these things because we know who we are. We're the called out. We're the elect. We're the chosen of God. We're the people from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And we're just practicing worshiping right now, looking forward to the day when we will stand before you in glory and worship with the saints on high. Bless us here. Let your spirit inhabit everything we do here today. And we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you. We lived through tornadoes yesterday, and we're still standing. So we thank you for your providence. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for the way that you've protected us. And thank you for the way that you've gathered us and brought us all here. We praise your name and we worship you. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Barney, you going to play for us?
Yes.
It'd be over there. 222. There is a fountain. All right, 222 in your hymn book. Thank you. ready to sing?
Thank you.
that's how that song was meant to go. All right, you're done with your piano duties, and you get a short break before you have to do your preaching duties. And you know the rule, when you come up here, you have to put the leash on. Okay. Let's talk about one of the most amazing facets of this particular Saturday afternoon. I can't explain it. I can only tell you that it's a reality. People got in cars in places like Ohio. People got in cars in places like Pennsylvania. People got on airplanes in Los Angeles. People drove from Chicago. There are people driving here from Dallas. To be in this little building this particular weekend. And so I decided this year we would do something we'd never done before. I told Brent the last time he almost came here, stop it. I told him, stop it. I'll hurt you. I told Brent last time he was almost able to be here. I said, well, I'm going to give you the microphone. And I'm going to let you say whatever you want to our congregation and to the people listening on the internet. And maybe you can explain why you would get in the car and drive from Chicago to be here. And then we're going to offer the microphone to Wendy, who's come from Pennsylvania. I warned her yesterday. I said, get ready. You're going to have an opportunity to tell folks from the internet people's perspective why you would drive all the way here to be part of GCA. And then, if you'd like, Guy.
Oh, I'll pass. Thank you.
Guy opted out. That is a really interesting phenomenon because people will drive from Ohio, but they won't come that last 13 feet. It's that. I know. A few minutes ago, Barney sat on the front row. You have to understand the front row philosophy. Jennifer, this is really her doing. Because I keep trying to eliminate this row of chairs because they're so close up here. And she realized that when we eliminated that row of close chairs, no one would sit in that row of chairs. So we put this row of chairs up here, and then people sit in the second row. And it's technically the first row, so we fooled you. Another Chicagoan chimes in. How many of you remember a few years ago? How many years ago was it, Brent? When you came up here and Nathan was just born and we dedicated Nathan here on a homecoming weekend 3 years ago. Yes. He remembers. Time flies. Frances, you may remember because last year we baptized her. We're just glad that she's here today. Frances, we'll give you the microphone if you want it.
Yes. I have something to say. I do.
We're happy to hear what you have to say. So let's start with Brent because he's on the verge of tears. And so you have to wear the leash.
I didn't know I was going to do this.
But you're gonna. I have to tell you why I'm pushing Brent. In fact, I'm going to... In fact, I'm going to tell you all why you have to like Brent. Yeah. Yeah. There wouldn't be a GCA. There wouldn't be this building. There wouldn't be a place for you to have driven this far to had it not been for Brent. Brent and I used to drive 2 hours together. Tuesday nights, was it? Yes. My regular preaching opportunity first showed up in a group that was meeting in a home in Dover, Tennessee, and they wanted to start a church, and they were looking for a pastor, and you know that I ended up being their interim pastor for about a year. And a two-hour drive up and back to Dover, Tennessee. And so as often as not, Brent would get in the car with me. And as I was passing through Madison, he'd be there at the gas station. And I'd pull in, he'd jump in the car, and off we'd go to Dover. I don't know if anybody knows more about how I got here than Brent does. Oftentimes, when I hit the wall, it was Brent that made me keep going. I hate you. Brent and I go a long way back. When I first met Brent, he was a teenage skull full of mush with way too many products in his hair. Spiky hair. Young teenage ruffian. Boy, we've come a long way together. And so right now, my constant prayer is that God will get him back here. United Airlines took him to Chicago, and now it's time for God to bring him back here. So you all need to like Brent because GCA is here because Brent was here. Come on. Can we get out of your way?
You get me all weepy-eyed.
I know.
All right, so I'm not gonna take much time because I didn't quite know I was going to do this, but as Jim said, we've gone back a long way. And one of the things that we do every year, it's non-optional. We get in the car, we as a family come here to Smyrna, Tennessee from Chicago, and like I said, it's a non-optional thing. You'll have to help me out with scripture, but there's a scripture that says, cleave to that which is good, and this is good. Hold on to it. If you're here, don't let go of these people. It's it's a difficult thing to be in the world and not have someone of a like heart and a like mind that's spiritual, someone that you can lean on, that has godly advice. And Brother Jim's always been there for me, and I try to be there for him. The people that are sitting next to you, it's a very rare thing. And trust me, my wife and I, and especially just myself, have ventured off into Chicago, tried to find good sound preaching, and it's a very difficult thing to find. So I said all that to say, this is a great thing. This is a good thing. Hold on to it. Hold on to the people that are next to you. Never forsake this. And we try to never forsake this every year. That's why we're here. So I love every one of you, and if you're ever in Chicago, our house is yours. So we love you all, and we pray for you often, and hold on to this guy right here. He's good.
Okay, so Guy opted out. So I'm going to tell a Guy Franklin story. A couple of years ago, the first time that Guy was here, and your friend was?
Chuck,
right. It reminded me, when you said, this is good, it reminded me of my first meeting with Guy. I pulled up outside. I think I was just coming by to do something. It wasn't even, the service wasn't starting yet or anything, and we were on our way to Don's. I came by here, and there were these two guys sitting out there in the parking lot, and I saw Guy point at me. And he went, that's him. And I ran. Oh, no. I don't know who these guys are. But they've made me. I gotta go. So it occurred to me, this could be the guys from Ohio. So I ran over and said hi, and they jumped out of the car and mauled me. And so we came in, and I walked them through the building, and I was telling the story of how we got here and where we planned to go from here and how good God had been to us and all the stories of providence that led to this moment. And I'm used to this building, and I'm used to this land, and I have nonstop dreams and goals. I mean, I can't wait to knock out these walls and build again, and then I can't wait to do whatever comes next. And so I got used to this building, and I wanted this wall knocked out, and I wanted that foyer built, and I wanted all these other things that now that have been done. So I'm walking through the building, and I'm explaining it, and I'm kind of making up for it as I'm saying, well, this is this, and this is this, but we're going to fix that, and well, this is that, and we're going to knock that out. Well, we've got all this land back here, and I'm trying to explain to them that, you know, this is a momentary step for us. And I think we were walking through the back hallway toward the nursery room back there, and guy looked at me and he said, Jim, this is great. Remember that?
I do.
I hate you. And it reminded me. It reminded me. I stopped and went, what am I doing? This is great. I'm so busy worrying about what I hope God will do next week and the month after and next year, and what will the next year be like, and these goals and things I'd love to see GCA be able to do in the future. And Guy was good enough to remind me to just stop and look at what I had and where we were and recognize that this was genuinely great. So when you stood up here and said, this is good, it's great. Yeah. Now, Wendy is from Lancaster County. She pointed out to me that it is not Lancaster. Lancaster. In Pennsylvania. She's right close to Hershey, Pennsylvania, where they make Hershey chocolate. So she's my connection. Straight to Hershey. And also, she's the connection for Shoe Fly Pie, which she brought with her. Yeah, which James was very happy about. And so I got to meet Wendy day before yesterday when she got into town. I got to spend a little time with her yesterday, and I have to tell you, I like her. Yeah. Because sometimes God matches you together with people where you go, oh, really, God? Oh. Oh, all right. No, Wendy's great. And so I forewarned her that she would get an opportunity to speak if she wanted to. And so, Wendy, come on up here so everybody can say hi to you. Everybody, this is Wendy.
Hi.
You have to clip that onto you in some way.
Okay. Hi, Internet people. I am.
Wendy, if you clip it to your shirt, we'll get better sound off it. So just...
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. I am here because of September the 11th. But it was September the 11th, 2007, when I got a letter from my church announcing that they were going purpose-driven. And it started a spiral downhill. And after several months, I found myself a local church refugee. And it's been a long time, and I still have yet to find a local church. And so while I was a refugee, I started listening online. And I listened to a lot of different preachers from a lot of different places around the United States. And one of the websites that I went to was Reformed Voices, and I'm sure you guys are familiar with Reformed Voices. And I started hearing some clips from Pastor Jim at GCA. And one of the things that I was doing during this refugee time was I needed to nail down a few things of my theology. And I was Reformed. I came from a Reformed background. But my church had been Amil, and I have a degree in Bible, and I could argue all the different arguments for eschatology, and I realized that that was just insane. You can't do that. And so I decided that I was going to nail this down. And so on the Reformed Voices website, there was a little link that said Examining Amillennialism, and it had by Jim McLarty. And I thought, if he can explain it to me, I'm going to believe it. And I know why you're all laughing. Because I clicked on it, and I was like, whoa, okay. This is pre-mill, pre-trib. I had never, ever, ever met anybody who was Reformed and pre-mill, pre-trib. And so I listened to all 120 sermons in this series, and then I got hooked. And then I would visit other local churches, and I'd be like, but you're not preaching the word. You're telling me stories from the newspaper or whatever, and it's not the word. And so I want to echo, what's your name?
Brett.
What? I want to echo Brett by saying, this is great. This is good. You do not know how blessed you are until you become a local church refugee. And you are blessed, and I pray that you strive to keep what you have. It's too easy to just get lackadaisical and to lose sight of what it is that you have. You have a preacher who preaches the word, and that's such a blessing. Thank you very much.
Okay, now I hate you. We got an email last year from a woman who had emailed me maybe a handful of times. And she said, I'm out here listening. I'm out here in California. I think I want to come out there for your homecoming weekend. I thought, well, that's great. That would be the person who's come the furthest. Then she wrote and said, could I be baptized? And I said, well, you have to write to me and tell me why you want to be baptized. Just a short thing. Tell me something about yourself and why you want to be baptized. And I read her email, and I got to the end of it and went, yes. Come here, Francis. Frances got in, I guess, last night, and Karen picked her up at the airport, and all I've had a chance to do so far was just hug you at the door.
At the door.
Yeah, hello, hello, hello. I'm so glad to see you. Oh, and you smell great.
Oh. Thank you.
You know the rule. You got to attach that to yourself.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I can match Wendy or not, but I will say hello to all of us internet, because I know we're out there, and I do want to say thank you to Jennifer's husband, Jeff, for getting those messages up.
Yes.
Because as soon as this, I know, I count 2 hours, I know when you're done here, and I start checking because it's such a wonderful connection. I did not grow up in a church-going family, so I'm not a habitual church-goer. I don't miss every Sunday. I don't get to go to church. Since I know you exist, I come to your church all the time. I come to your church 7 days a week. I come to GCA all the time. But the thing that you don't do online that I know I missed is just what happened here this afternoon. As you were singing, and I know you all know these songs, it is so good to be in a group of people who are singing these songs. The words mean so much. They're so different. It's not singing, I'm going to cry, my gosh. It's not singing the songs that I sang in the church that I used to go to. They come right to your heart. They touch right to your heart. They mean something way more, way more. So, Pastor Jim, if you could include some song service, it would help me out greatly, personally, at my little computer, clicking around. I love you all. I'm determined now to put faces and voices together so that when you speak out, and speak up, Because sometimes you say good stuff, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I love being here. I'm so happy to be here. Oh, and I did want to say one more thing, because I think you're postman guy, is that correct?
Mailman guy.
Okay. Excuse me. Oh, that's right. We don't go to the post office. You're the one who said next year in Smyrna?
No, that's somebody from Iowa.
Oh, I got it all messed up. But that's the thing that I connected to. So my credo now is every year in Smyrna. Amen. I love y'all. Thank you.
Don't walk away with that.
Oh. Got it on. I can't get it.
There we go. Thanks. All right. Now, for our visitors, we have to do exactly what she just said. We have to play connect the voices and the faces.
Oh, no.
We have to. Now, unfortunately, Jeff wasn't able to be here this afternoon. And Alex and his family are on their way back from Florida and might be here tomorrow. We'll have to see. And so those are the two that people seem to come in from out of town and they go, who's Jeff? And who's Alex? And so this is Tim, who you've heard me mention many, many times. Tim, who is more responsible than anybody for how good our building looks. And Tim, who more than once has talked me off the ledge. So I appreciate Tim very much. Frequently, when I want to make an example of someone, I say, you know, if there's a fight, me and Shane are on the same side. This is Shane. Stand up, Shane. Yeah. If there's a fight, Shane and I are on the same side. His wife, Elizabeth. His daughter, Allison, whose handwriting we display every week on the board. And then, of course, John and Stacy. You frequently will hear me say John on tape, and I'm not talking about the apostle. John works with Jeff. And Jeff and John got talking, and then one day John showed up here. And now we can't get rid of him. And John has been a great, great blessing to me because he's one of those... You'll hear me say every once in a while that I'm surrounded by computer whiz kids, that all I do is create content, and then the computer wizards do that voodoo that makes it show up on the internet. John's one of those computer wizards that I'm very reliant on. And then his daughter, Katie, who can outrun anybody in the building. So. Karen back there, you hear me talk about Karen frequently. And now the next person you have to be ready to applaud for, because all of the decorating that's been going on, all of the planning, where we're going to have dinner, the giveaways, everything you're going to see today and tomorrow is the result of Robin's hard work. So a round of applause for Robin. And then
I have lots of helpers, and I really appreciate all the help. Stacy, Marilyn, Lee came today and helped with tables. A lot of help today. I really appreciate it. Good team around here.
It's a good team around here. Now I have to introduce you to perhaps our most infamous member. Stand up, Gladys. There's Gladys. You?
No. You know that TV commercial where this little creature falls in the bed?
Yeah.
And he's so soft, he just goes on down. Yeah. This is a soft place to land.
Oh.
I landed my 80-year-old bones here. And
well, isn't that nice? So those are some of the most obvious voices that you hear. You know Jennifer, my daughter Megan over here. The Dog Pound. Dog Pound, where are my dogs at?
Yay!
I get email every once in a while from people who say, you said something about a dog pound at your church? Does your church have a dog pound? What's
funny,
with the...
Because you wear the leash.
Exactly.
That would be Ben.
That would be Ben. Yes. Ben, who on Wednesday nights likes to sit right there, and I slowly, while I'm preaching, move this toward him. Good old Ben. This is Jeff and Laurel Foster, who have been good enough to open their house. They've taken Wendy in, and Karen took Francis in, just like she did last year. And so I really appreciate the families that were willing to open their houses that way. Very, very kind. Very, very good of you. Well, now let me introduce all of you collectively. This is Carol. Yes.
Yay.
Who? Miss Carol and I go back several years. Miss Carol's our alto, and it's just not as much fun singing when she's not here. And last Sunday, I left out of here and ate in my car so that I could get up to hear her sing the Handel's Messiah with the choir that she sings with. And it was beautiful. And she had been sick. And as many of you know, she's been going through a trial that would fell a lesser person. And I couldn't wait till it was over so that I could go up and hug her and say, you know, you had every good excuse to say, I'm just too worn out, God. I'm just too tired. I've been through too much. She's been taking the beating lately. And then on top of that, to have the flu the week before, and she stood up there singing praises to God, singing with all her might, and I couldn't have been prouder as a pastor to get to say, that one's mine. You can't have her. She's mine. Miss Carol made me proud. Yeah, I know, I know. Now, the man who's doing his impression of a tangerine today, I go back further with Tom than I go back with anybody in this building. Tom and I go back to 1982-ish.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
I remember 82.
Do you know what that was? That was, wow, they're old. That's all that was. Wow. We go back to 1982. We've been playing music together off and on for years. We played together in a church out in Los Angeles. That's how we got to know each other. And I moved out here, and he needed to get away from Los Angeles. And I said, come here. And he came here, and then his life went through a series of the sort of trials that just make life worth living. And
was that what it was?
Yeah. And then we found each other again. We had about a year or two where we just gone our separate things, and we found each other again. And he walked in here one day, and I think he's missed maybe two services since then. What's that been? 5 years? 6 years?
I came on the second Sunday you were open.
7 years?
The first one, yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. And playing his guitar for us. And I don't know if you realize it, but at the end of We Have Come Into This House, which was in the key of E flat, he bent those last notes in E flat. Only the guitarists in the room know how difficult that was to do. And it was in tune. So Tom and I go way back. So, would you like to say anything to the collective group? Now, Tom, as you all know, the folks on the internet all know, we almost lost Tom. Tom had a hemorrhage in his brain, and they had to lop his head open and fix it. And I'm thankful for the doctors who knew how to do that. And he only missed one Sunday. I know. Came hobbling back in here on his walker with his scar and everything. And
scaring the children.
Yeah. Scaring the children.
Yeah. He managed to drive himself to the hospital.
That's right. He drove himself to the hospital. And then when they took the first MRI, the doctor said that if he hadn't seen Tom before he saw the MRI, he would have assumed that the patient was dead. And here he is.
Talk about unexpected. I've heard
Jim talk about how fortunate it is to some people, especially the young ones, to grow up under good teaching and to know nothing but good teaching. There are advantages to that. You don't have to clean out your skull and get the bad teaching out of the way before you can understand the good teaching. There are advantages to that. However, when you've had some poor teaching, and I'll just say poor, let it go at that, there is a lot of clean out to do, but it sure helps you to appreciate the good teaching a lot better than if that's the only thing you know. And so to the youngsters, to those of you who only know good Reformed teaching, well, it can be a lot worse, and you have no idea what I'm talking about. And I hope you never do. But I'm glad this church is here. There was a lot of cleaning up to do. I remember in the first few weeks, after starting to hear some good preaching here, I came up to Jim and I said, it feels like my floor is being swept up here. And more debris got out of the way, and all of a sudden I was getting a better understanding of the Word. It's a good example that God will open your ears when the time is right, because evidently the time wasn't right before. And one example of that is the book of Romans. I've read that over and over again, going back 25 years, and I didn't know who was writing this book. It wasn't making sense to me. I couldn't imagine that the same author of Romans also wrote the other letters in the Bible, many of the other letters in the Bible. I'm reading Romans, and it's just nothing. And then I come here, and I hear it preached right, and all of a sudden, click, 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 puzzle pieces fall into place. And it wasn't there before. But it took God to open my ears and said, now it's time for you to finally understand. You've been bumping into spiritual furniture long enough. Let's see what the truth is. And little by little, I still got a long way to go, but little by little, thanks to this church and thanks to you, I'm having my eyes open. And maybe in another 15 or 20 years, I'll say, well, okay, now I got it pretty well figured out. So thank you, Jim.
Well, thank you.
Well, we need to move along here. I just have two more people I need to quickly point out, because I've referred to Renee several times to the internet folk. This is lovely Renee right here in the middle of the room with the long blonde hair. Renee's brother and I go back to a garage band in high school. Yeah. Talk about Providence. And he called me one day and said, I think my sister is down there in Nashville somewhere near you. And I called her and talked to her, and I couldn't be happier that Renee's in our midst. And then lastly, but not leastly, how many of you folks have ever watched The Muppet Show? On The Muppet Show, there are these two old men. Sitting in the balcony, making wise guy comments. May I introduce Alan and Conrad?
And forget our wives.
Wise guy comments.
And then Francis walked in, I spoke to her, and she said, oh, this is the back corner.
I love the personality this church has. Their wives, Sally over here, she belongs to Alan, and Marilyn over here, who belongs to Conrad, or Conrad belongs to her, really. And so we're very happy to have all of you here. Did I miss anybody? I think we've kind of said hi to everybody. And our most recent addition over the last couple of weeks has been Devontae Moore here and his family. And every time that we call him D now, for those who can, but every time he shows up, he brings family with him. He brought his grandmother with him today. Aww. So, Willie, we're glad you're here. And he jumped in with both feet. Okay, you want to feel ashamed of yourself? Okay. He's new, and he was here putting up tables today. Okay? Listen to all of them. They're like, very good for you. Yeah. Yeah. Shame on the rest of you who weren't. But he was very good for him. Barney Johnson's my friend. Here's another guy you have to like. You don't have a choice. If you like me, you have to like him. Let me tell you why. Because we moved into this building in June of 2001. And in August of 2001, I got laid up in the hospital for a month and had a surgery that tried to kill me. And we were brand new. We had just put up our sign. We had just opened the building. We had just begun painting and knocking things out. We had just begun. We were just a handful of people. And I got on the phone to my friend who lives in Alabama and said, I need someone to fill in for me for like a month. He was here every Sunday. And he would call me and say, you need me again? Need me again? Every Sunday, Barney was here. He's been part of our homecoming weekends since the beginning. And we were both ordained by the same man. And we both have rock and roll backgrounds, as he told you about on my birthday when he showed up here, surprise. When he sang a song about how much better 53 looked on him. Than it did on me. Barney, don't let that clock bother you. You just preach till you're done. We'll eat whenever you're done. And we're not in any hurry, as I think I've demonstrated so far. So, Barney Johnson.